Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card in.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Nick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus, where Mick Sharkey declares he will tip the card, and surely the laws of averages are saying he's getting closer, because he hasn't been able to do it as yet, but tomorrow could be the day. It is a lovely Group 3 Bletchingley Stakes meeting at the Heath at Caulfield, and there's been a lot of talk about a couple of short-priced favourites. Hopefully we'll be able to help the punters out. Sharkey, how are you?
Very well, Michael. Very well. How are you
Very
today?
Good. Been a big couple of days for you, because you made the announcement publicly last night that...
Don't make it sound like it's an announcement of any importance.
After a very impressive stay at Spicer Thoroughbreds, you are leaving
yes.
to begin a new chapter in your life.
Yes, I am. I'm going to work for Leneva Park, a young farm at Longwood, just south of Yarrowa. They're a very, very good pre-training establishment, probably the best pre-training venue in Victoria, I'd go as far as to say. But we're going to be developing a broodmare band there as well. It's probably the missing link at the farm. So, yeah, I'll be looking after lots of happy pregnant mama horses.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You've always had a background in your bloodstock, especially overseas, horse trading, so no doubt you'll...
Yeah, I'll keep doing that
continue
too.
Continue to do that. And
I have a couple of those coming over soon.
You've had good fun with Brad Spicer. We know he's
very good
a great guy.
Yeah, terrific fun.
What we still need, though, is the inside oil from Spicer Thoroughbreds each and every Friday Form Focus.
Okay.
So, Brad, if you're listening, let Sharkey in the complex. Give him the inside oil to pass out to all the loyal RSN listeners. Trainer Lindsay Smith's already declared mystery shot in the last. Some people had thought maybe after you potted mystery shot, this was the straw that broke the camel's back with Spicer Thoroughbreds. But there's no truth to that rumour, is there?
No, none at all. No, you've got to talk it down. But we learned a bit from Lindsay this morning, didn't we?
The penguins.
Penguins never give up, and he thought he was pregnant. So, interesting. Interesting insights from Dan Warrnambool way.
Locked down to strange things to people.
Yeah.
Lindsay
sort of had
already left of centre.
Had visions of Arnold Schwarzenegger in that. What was that movie? Where he's pregnant?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Remember that movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger's pregnant?
I know, Twins. You watch
Junior? Was it Junior?
You watch a lot of crap TV and movies, isn't it?
That's the one where he's pregnant. Somebody will know.
SMS us. Ask Sharkey a question about a horse and tell us your favourite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie when he's pregnant.
Junior, 1994 classic.
Wow. Okay.
It rates 36% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I thought
so
it would,
I don't
have,
think
been,
it's,
thought it would have been a bit higher than that.
Emma Thompson was in that. Danny DeVito. Anyway.
Well, he and Arnie were almost joined at the hip. Twins.
Yes.
So they went through that period together. Anyway, we digress. We need a winner. We need more than one winner. Caulfield tomorrow. It looks a nice card.
Bulk winners.
I think tomorrow could be the day that you tip at least half the card.
Yeah, we got half the other week.
We're going to try and aim for half. We're going to be on an improving surface, which is good. Jason Kerr said we could almost be on a good track if it gets a bit windy today. So I think the punters will enjoy opening their shoulders on a better surface tomorrow. And
I agree.
A little sniff of spring with the Bletchingley Stakes is an intriguing Bletchingley, because there's a couple of horses in that race who probably would like it a bit wetter. Jungle Edge, great again. Mm. What do you do, Streets of Avalon, first up over the 1,200? We spoke to Shane Nichols during the week. He's going well, but whether he's well enough to win. And Viridine, is he the one that the punters will now come for on this improving surface?
I think he might be. Streets of Avalon, it might be a bit like Scales of Justice last year. It might be a case of the best horse in the race wins. I thought his jump out was good. I'm sure he's got improvement in him, no doubt about that. But, yeah, I sort of kept coming back to Streets of Avalon a little bit in
all
that
right.
race.
Well, we'll get there in a moment. If you've got a question or a thought, SMS at 0416905052. Let's get into the first race.
Or a mare to send to the farm.
Well, if you want to do any trading.
Yeah, just hit me up.
Race one, over the mile, 1,600 metres, and there'll be a lot of punters who are keen on Tavi Dance, who was brilliant last start. He's into a pretty tight quote, $2.10, no say in it. We heard from Lindsay, he's a horse that just continues to find trouble. He did that last start. I wonder whether the inside draw, gate three, will be in his favour or not. 550. De Niro was really impressive last start as well, at 550. And Heavenly Emperor is the next best in the market at 650. Tabby Nance is the horse that has the score on the board as far as strike rate and wins and looks the improver out of it. But would you be happy to take 210?
Ooh, it's a serve as tight as I'd like to play in a benchmark 78, but he is my top pick. I just think he gets another really good run here. It sounds a bit funny over 1600 at Caulfield from gate 11, but the way the speed is drawn, I think he'll be okay. Empress Selassie, number 11 with Campbell Rawilla's claim, drawn 10, probably goes across the field forward. Tabby Dance is drawn outside him. He might get a little card across here. Heavenly Emperor in 6 and Owlsman in 7. That's probably the speed, my read of the race anyway. I think Jamie Carr might be able to get in sort of 4th, 5th without doing too much work, with enough room to sort of lob into a handy stalking spot. If she can do that with Tabby Dance, I think he'll be winning the race. I can see No Say In It Again needing luck from 3, being back towards the inside, probably worse than midfield. He's going to need room. Battle Talk, going well, did it tough last time. Probably would have liked a little bit softer ground, although he has run well on a good 4 recently. I just think he's that little bit better on a genuine soft track. And then your other opposition is the English handicapper Skyman. Good enough English form to say he's going to win races in Australia, but there's nothing that jumps off the page and says, oh, this is a group horse or anything like that. He's jumped out 3 times. His jump out last trip, I think, is probably the better of them that I've seen. The 2 this time around, he's just coasted around. He's had plenty in hand on the line. He does get back in the field, though. So another horse, a bit like old mate No Say In It, he's going to be back and drawn inside. So Tabby Dance is tactically going to have a decent head start on those horses, and I think that gives him the edge to win the first.
All right, so 210, Tabby Dance, but you're still wanting to try
you know,
at the price?
I always want a bit better. I always do. I'd love a little bit better than 210, but if he hovers around that mark race time...
Could be a nice multi-leg start your day.
Why not just back him and double your money? That might be the option.
You could do that.
That might be the option.
You could bookend the meeting with a nice little multi-double.
You know what? There's something to that.
All right.
I've got one for you today, too.
Well, is it trained by Brent Stanley?
It'll be winning.
Mr. $4
we'll
after we
later.
Spoke to him
we'll
yesterday.
We'll get to it later.
Race number 2. And this, for those who weren't up early enough, Dean Lester, the Ramaruffi, who I think's running 3 from 4.
Cool.
The one he missed was the one we were on at $31 and ran 4th when it should have won, is in this race. Flinders River. Craig Williams, Kiramar, Dave Eustace, $8, still very backable. Zesty Bell's the favourite here at $4. Sensationalist, I should say. Oh, let's have another go. Sensationalisation is at $4. Galactic Fury, the stablemate, it was scratched from last week's at $5.50, and Burley Boys at $6.50. First of all, your thoughts on Dino's Ramaruffi, Flinders River from Barrier 1?
Definitely in there with a really good chance. I thought he was more than serviceable first up. First time we've seen this horse as a gelding. Ran really well at Lakeside. The way the race was run, he just got too far back and gave way to obviously a pretty smart horse in ASAR. So it was a nice run. Form around Tagaloa and Mr. Cashman. That reads well for this, doesn't it?
Mm.
He is well and truly in the game. My top pick, though, is the filly right down the bottom, right the score. I thought she should have won first up at Mowi. A little bit slowly away over the extended 1100 there. Just got into an awkward spot as they started to, you know, approach the turn. Got shuffled back a little bit. Held up, and then once she got out, it was only about sort of 100 metres to go, she really picked up rapidly. With a clear run, she would have run straight past Deep Mirror. I think she's good enough to keep progressing forward here. They tried her in a stakes race at her first start on Cup Day, so they obviously had a decent opinion of her then. I think she's good enough to keep going here, and again, a bit like Flinders River, each way odds about
her. She's good value as well, 8.50, 2.50 would be good. Good effort to come to town on the Saturday and win this at your third start. You obviously think she's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, I think she's got some ability. I don't know if the heavy 9 last time was really what she wanted to see either. I just love the way she finished off there. A lot of young horses in particular get held up and they kind of not spit the dummy, but they just lose their action. They're not quite sure what to do. She got held up a couple of times. Once the gap came, she knew exactly what to do. She was chasing that leader down and wanted to win. Love that.
Jockeys here, you read a lot of things, maybe too much stuff into jockeys, but Craig Williams has ridden Burley Boy at all three starts, now jumps on Flinders River, which is Dino's Ramaruffi. D. Oliver jumps on Burley Boy. D. Oliver has ridden Right the Score at its first start. Last start didn't ride it, but Ben Mellum jumps on for Mick Kent. Do you make anything about the musical chairs of jockeys?
Oh, they might just be trying something different on Burley Boy. He's got the raw ability. I fancy he'll be at his best ridden colt. We saw in his jump outs prior to his first up run this time around that he was really snagged and allowed to finish off, and he looked really good in those jump outs. I've got a feeling they might try those tactics tomorrow with Burley Boy. Speaking of jockeys, there's a jockey here that we don't know a lot about. He's got probably one of the best names of a jockey in Victoria. Randy Tan.
Tell us about Randy.
I don't know anything about Randy. Do you know anything about Randy?
Not a great deal.
No. Should we consult Google?
Well,
What about people SMS us or just tell us? I don't know anything about Randy Tan. But it is a grouse name. And you know what? Grouse is a word that you don't use enough on this program. I'm just putting that out there too. I'm just following it up.
Yeah.
A little 1-2 combination.
Well, we will find out more about Randy.
If anyone knows anything about Randy Tan, please let us know.
And that's nothing against Randy. But
I want to know about him.
Comes from Malaysia. Spent some time in WA, Google is telling us. So
it's a super name.
Good luck to Randy Tan, but we will find out a little bit more about Randy, who's worked for Lindsay Smith in the past.
See, remember when Matty Poon was absolutely charging along in South Australia and punters got behind him and had, what was it, they, whenever he rode a winner, get on the Poon train, you know that, and they sort of like created a bit of a cult figure around him? Surely, I know punters, that the crew in there listen to this program, surely we can start a similar tidal wave behind Randy Tan. They could have some fun.
What would the catch cry be?
I don't know.
Jump on the Tan.
Yeah, I was going to say let's get Randy, but well, that's probably, that's probably low-hanging fruit.
This is a G-rated program, Shark. We've got a lot of impressionable people that listen to this, none more so than my children who are just downstairs around the corner. Hey, Randy Tan, thanks to Dean Pettit, used to ride for Lindsay Smith in Perth.
There you go.
And he's moved over to Victoria and he's now riding in the Cranbourne area. So
I wonder if he'll reunite with Lindsay.
Well, gee, it'd be cold going from WA down to Warrnambool.
Well, Cranbourne's not much better at this time. It tends to be just wet. Cranbourne is just a wet area at this time of year.
And G. Hall, who we know is WA's prodigal son, has said he's a great kid, a brilliant rider, came from Malaysia to WA. So
there we go.
We might get Randy, either myself or Gareth. We'll have to check to Randy in the next week and find out a little bit more about Randy Tan.
We've seen a bit of the country. That's
good luck.
It's good from Perth to Cranbourne.
On Moondog, another well-named horse racing tomorrow at Caulfield. Race number 3, let's get into this. Oh, so finally, what was your selection?
Right the score each way. Yeah, Right the Score each way.
All right. Race number 3, this is one of Dino's best of the day, our Campagna for Peter Moody. And I remember last time before she raced at Caulfield, Peter Moody was very concerned about the track, saying that I think she's a dry tracker. I know her form says that she can handle the wet, but I think she performs better from what she had shown on her track work on the dry. So the improving track, 3 kilos for Campbell Rewilla, is certainly going to help our Campagna. Pretty much meets the same field at $3. Propel, unlucky, but she's just got a habit of being unlucky, hasn't she? At $3.80, Sort of Mercy, $5.50. She's a Thief, $6.50. Are you with our Campagna, the favourite, to make it two in a row this time in?
I am. And I think Pete was right, although she won first up. I think you've got to listen to the trainer, and he said all her work on better surfaces was a lot better than on wet ground. So she's come out and won first up on a soft six. It's a fair old effort. And that track was deteriorating as well, so it's worth keeping in mind. Gets a very similar run here to what she had last time, and as you say, meets a similar field. Has a nice claim, Campbell Rewilla. She's really hard to go past. I thought River Jewel, back from 1400 to this distance, was some sort of chance. Michael Rodd's riding really well, and what he's doing at the moment, Michael, is getting his horses to land in the absolute gun spot to suit them. He's doing his form and his homework, and he's finding the right place to settle with the horses and giving them every possible chance. So he will do that with River Jewel. Missiano hit the line. She's a Thief will be on speed and kicking. You know, they're all racing in consistent sort of shape, so they'll be around the mark, which is sort of our Campania. Had a little bit more to give. I think she can keep going forward from this race. There's a couple of roughies in the race that might be worth throwing in your trifectas and first fours if you play that way. Ravens Blaze and Get a Mel come through the same race at Cranbourne behind Salty Kisses about roughly 10 days ago. Neither of them had any luck in that race. And one of them 60-1, the other's 34-1. This is not a vintage field. Some of these mares are out of form. Some are just treading water. If they stuck their head into a place third or fourth, it could really add some fat.
There's only nine runners in this race, and two, according to the market, are given no chance. And you're tipping both of them to run a big race.
I could think they could run a big race, yeah.
Ravens
They're
race,
not hopeless here.
$34, Get 'em Hell.
Tony Noonan is airborne 61. At the moment.
He is. There's another one of his runners a little later who has been flying that we'll talk about.
Did you watch, I don't know if you cast your eye as far as Gold Coast last week?
I only saw the Twitter action afterwards, and I think you were a bit despondent, were you?
Because no, I backed it.
Oh, who was it that had been waiting? It was a Ben Ascari that said, I've been waiting for this one, and I don't know how I missed it.
Missed it. Bugger. It does happen, though. Because there's that many races.
Did remember is that you didn't mention it on the Friday to all the RSN listeners. And then on Twitter you declared it as one of your best of the day.
I don't know about that.
I did recall that.
I don't know about that. Anyway, race four, keep moving.
$3, happy to play, Campania?
Look, it's not a race that gets me too excited about betting, but, yeah, look, if the Tavi Dance wins the first, I'll probably have my tail up a bit and I might have a go.
All right. Getting to know a little bit more about Randy Tan too, Gareth Hall as well said he used to run a cafe in Malaysia.
Oh, we've got to get Randy Tan on.
We will lock Randy in next week to have a good chat.
Can we get him on
the
verdict?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So especially if he has a cafe.
Yeah.
Imagine that. All right, let's get into race
number four. Coffee sponsor?
This is going to be one of the most interesting races of the day because Persan's been the star of the winter months for Kieran Maher, Dave Eustace, and he thinks the horse is flying. It's got to carry 62 kilos for John McNeil, $3. Gwenzinga Ali's a horse both you and I have a lot of time for who obliterated them when he went back to the country. And Lord Boozeron, you couldn't get more impressive on Australian debut. The problem was that was on a bog and it could be bordering on a good track tomorrow. How do you line up the favourites in this race?
I don't know if that'll necessarily bother Lord Boozeron. He's pretty adaptable. I think he goes forward with Science Seal, Deliver. Skite was the other one that sit on pace, but it's come out. Persan probably stalks. And I think Gwenzinga Ali can land in the first half of the field from 9. I wouldn't think they'd be getting too far back after it was able to, albeit from a relatively decent gate there at Cranbourne, middle gate, he was able to sort of box seat. I think Mellon will be looking for a similar spot here. Gwenzinga Ali has the best turn of foot in the race. And as long as this doesn't become a big stamina sapping test with the leaders just rolling along and taking the sprint out of everything else, I can't see that happening, to be honest. I think they'll bowl along rather than really charge. Gwenzinga lands in a spot to use that turn of foot here. This race has a fair old tail to it. I think he's well positioned to sprint home over the top of these. He could finish a bit better than... I don't think Persan could give him 4 kilos and beat him.
She was good last start. And that might have just been a little confidence...
Yeah,
that he needed.
So.
He's getting in pretty close to the market though now. He's what 360.
Yeah. Oh, gee, he has found our views and nearly $4 overnight when I was having a look. There has been money for him yesterday. I know that. I think he can turn Persan over. Lord Boozeron's definitely in the game. And again, if you like one a little bit out wide, Michael, and I know you do when it comes to playing exotics, Rebel Racer, number 9, ran really well behind Lord Boozeron. He was fairly wide throughout in that race. Had to make a wide run coming to the corner to get into the race, and he kept staying on. I would have been, forgiving if he just dropped out a little bit over that last 200, but he was actually just kept trying to find the line. I thought it was a really solid effort. He's by Rebel Raider. He'll appreciate this distance. he might be able to run, you know, into that sort of third or fourth slot. I can't see him beating the top couple that we've mentioned.
Seal Deliver has been uber consistent.
Yeah, very consistent. On speed again. Keeps kicking, keeps trying.
Only won the 1 of 13. Do you give him any chance of knocking off any of the folks?
Oh, he's got some chance, but he probably needs everything to go his way in front. And those that we mentioned, Persan and Grinzing Ali, who are chasing, not to finish to the best of their ability. I think that was a fairly weak race at Flemington that they won. They were clearly the best two in it. They cleared out from the rest of them.
And RSN's own and the Trial Files guru, Glenn Ingram.
Yeah. He's in high emotion, isn't he?
High emotion. I didn't realise he's got almost as many horses as you do.
I've got many these days.
So, and what I do realise is that when there's a very nice horse that anyone with this station's got any involvement in,
they go quiet?
They don't say anything.
No.
There hadn't been a word from the Bald Eagle about its last two wins on air. So what thoughts, and he played it down when I asked him yesterday about the chances.
Does he? Well, what about, can he give us an update? What did Kieran Maher say?
Kieran Maher said that he's with Persan over high emotion. Has been racing well, but doesn't think she can beat
poor old
the
Glenn.
Stable mate. It's a $6 chance though, so good luck.
Update us, Glenn, if you're listening. Good I know luck. You are, because you like to put your pen through what I throw out on
good
the
luck
Friday.
Good luck to Bald Eagle. He did find...
Tune in.
He did find McArdle's good two-year-old. What do you make
he
of?
Did.
What do you make of Hydro Star?
I was of a similar opinion watching his jump outs to what John sounded after the race. He's sort of goofy, gawky-looking horse, but has a turn of foot. Good to see him go to the races and do the same. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but I think his short-term goals are achievable. You know, why wouldn't you have a throw at a Vane Stakes? He's up with residual fitness. You could give him another little look before then. It's only a month away. Well, it's Memsy Day, I think, the Vane. That's last weekend of August. It's going to come around pretty quickly. Why not have a go?
Well,
catch some of the better ones on the hop.
No, I agree. 100%. It'll be interesting to see how he goes. Race number 5 at Caulfield. This is one of the more open races of the day. As we go through the market, Rich Hips, who won so impressively last start, is favourite. No, it's been overtaken as favourite by Chassis, who, if it stuck its head out last start, would have got me to quaddy. $4.60, Rich Hips, $4.80, Beatrix at $7, Modea at $7 as well. I see Dwayne Dunn goes on Chassis tomorrow, and Ollie is on Rich Hips. Now, Ollie rode Chassis last start at Caulfield, so do we read anything into that? Ollie wasn't on Rich Hip, so not too sure. A jockey change, Dwayne Dunn, that goes on to the favourite Chassis in race number 5.
Chassis and Rich Hips are very similar sorts of horses. I think they've both got the ability to settle closer than they did first up when both were eased from wise gates and really
was
charged.
Was he a little
home.
Too negative, Ollie, on Chassis last start?
I don't know about
from
that.
From the gates?
The horse began well. He had a good look over his shoulder to see if there was any way to cross. There wasn't. If he kept going the way he was going, he probably ends up 6 wide throughout. It can happen at Caulfield over sprint trips. Chassis's been a horse that's been able to sit closer to the speed over shorter trips in the past. So she does begin well, but she's got the same problem this time around. She's drawn wide. If she jumps, what's Dwayne Dunn going to do? Just hang her out to dry? Is that how they want her ridden? I'd be suggesting if you just asked her to come back a little bit and come in behind them and then finish off, it probably gives her a better chance.
How much speed is in this race tomorrow?
There's not a great deal.
So is
enough,
that going to be an issue?
Race, it's not breakneck. I had Beatrix going forward, Gimme the Goss probably going forward as well, and then down towards the bottom, Quality Diamond and possibly Chica Bonita from a wide gate with Lewis German's claim could be one to be there as well. Shush on the map gets a great run from 3. It's going to land in the box seat right behind them. But I just wanted to see a little bit more from her first up. I thought she'd go and win that race, and she had every possible chance and didn't get the job done. Not saying she can't win here. She may well improve, and the early market's saying that she will. I think she's $13 into...
15 into 850.
There you go. So there's been some support for her. I reckon that's probably based on the map and where she lands, because on the map she's not a $15 chance in this race. I liked the win of Rich Hips. I thought she's a horse that sort of flirted with stakes class at times in her life. She was fresh there from that little autumn campaign. again, went back from a wide gate, back inside, then had to come out wide angle for the run over 13 at Lakeside, which is tough to do from the back of the field. And she won going away from them, eased down the last little bit. I thought it was a very, very arrogant win. She might just go on with it. The other horse I thought could really improve here, getting on top of the ground, and that's what we're going to be faced with listening to Jason Kerr earlier on. You know, that's, I'm sort of working on a soft five, borderline good four for this meeting. Finesse Tess, number 10. Had she drawn an inside gate, I probably would have been with her here at an each-way price, but just that wide gate, I think it just makes her a little bit vulnerable. Good runs behind Beatrix. Good form out of that race. There's been two or three winners from that Sandown Hillside win behind Beatrix. And then back, had to come through the field, back towards the inside. Probably not the A ground at Caulfield that day. Kept trying. If you watch her on slightly better ground, she hits the line a bit better. So I think she's one that can improve here. And her form's good enough to say she's in the mix anyway.
Kimberly Spirit was the Tony Noonan. You mentioned that stables on fire. Gee. She was impressive last start. It's a huge jump, Saturday mare's grade from a maiden win, but what did you make of its domination last start?
Didn't beat much. Had to wait and wait and wait for the run. Shoved its way through, which I loved. And then once the gap came, it accelerated and just kept going, just charged away from them. We've got a bit of a comparison here. If you go back and look at its first run at Mornington, Finesse Tess finished second in that race. This girl was back, finding the line okay. They had Spectre 26 into 17, so she's clearly got some talent. I'd be a little bit surprised if she could win this, but can see her running well.
It's a tricky race. A couple of others. I want to get your thoughts on that girl.
That girl, too far back last time, probably didn't love the heavy ground. I am just wondering what her best level is. She's still learning. I know she won some races, and you think, oh, well, she's going to be city class, Saturday class, genuinely, and then she, other times she'd think, oh, maybe she's a midweek class filly at the moment. At least she's still finding her way a little bit, that girl, but the raw talent's there.
And what about Paddy Payne's filly who's first up, my dear?
Gets back, hits the line. Like most of Pat's horses, can do this again tomorrow. I'd just rather have a look at her before charging in.
Your favourite actress, would you give her any hope?
Paris, yeah. Actress? The Hills Have Eyes? Was that what she was in?
I don't know.
I think it's her most famous role. Anyway,
she's been in a couple of...
Three-kilo claim for Will Price, who's riding really well. Rode a nice winner during the week. Barrier 4, she's going to land forward of midfield. She'll get all the favours in the run. The mystery shot form's
53 kilos.
Good. Yeah, should be thereabouts. Another one that I think will appreciate an improving track.
All right. That's an in-depth look at race number 5. We need all the help we can get because it is one of the toughest races of the day. We are 5 races down at Caulfield. When we come back, it'll be the quaddy, including the feature, the Group 3 Bletchingley Stakes.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Polls and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We'll be catching up with Troy Corson and Paul Prushka a little later as we continue our look at Caulfield. A few SMSs are coming through. Morning, fellas. In these lockdown times, you've got to take the little wins when you get them. RSN's Racing Pulse has been phenomenal, but Friday Form Focus has been a huge winner and something to look forward to each week. Always better when Shark tips a few as well. Oh, that's from Anonymous. You should put
probably
your name
my,
to that
probably
one.
Probably my mum or my dad, I
Thank
reckon.
You.
Someone like that.
A Paris looks an each way. Bet of the weekend looks ready. We need to hear from Moods. That's from The Baker. Well, The Baker, I can guarantee you that G Hall will get Moods on tomorrow morning. So
he's in good form this week.
To the early word. Moods horses are flying.
They are.
Absolutely flying. Per San, up 2.5 kilos is a huge risk if the track is good. That's from Michael in Brisbane. Another one here saying, there's not enough Randys in racing. We need more of them.
More
That's
Randys.
From Glenn. No doubt about that. Now that Sharky is a country boy, appreciate how important cup meetings are to the folk living out in the city. When he does, he'll apologise for his city-centric comments last week. That's from Matt in Vermont.
Oh, that lovely country hamlet of Vermont. Yeah, oh, fantastic. Out there.
Don't have to live in the country to be a fan of the country.
No, Matt, I won't be apologising. There's something called playing the devil's advocate, and I think with all these, some of these country tracks that continually have problems, I don't know why we haven't looked at maybe cutting some from the herd in years gone by. I don't know why it hasn't been looked at more seriously.
You want rationalisation?
Oh, I don't want it, but do we just continually throw money at venues that sadly look like money pits?
Well, that's a can of worms to discuss further on the verdict, as we did touch on last week. Plenty of other news too, by the way, that we will talk more about tomorrow morning and Saturday, including Alligator Blood, who has lost the Magic Millions.
With Alan, have anything to say on Twitter last
week? Going to the Supreme Court.
So, okay.
The owner of Alligator Blood. Which
okay.
is his right,
yeah.
And his want. I must make note, and I know Troy Corson's is coming up, that if you haven't seen the article, it's in the Herald Sun, that I think Nathan Exelby did. He spoke to David Van Dyke. He spoke with such class trainer of Alligator Blood post losing that $1 million-plus race. Jump online and have a look at that. We'll talk more about it.
Do you know what David has? Perspective.
Yes, from where he's been to where he is now.
Well, exactly.
Yep. Exactly. Another man who's got perspective is Troy Corsons, because he's a man of the people. And it's good timing that we've got Troy on, because this SMS has come in and said, "Hi, Michael, can you please ask Troy if he has any two-year-olds in the stable that he is excited to see step out? Please get him to name them, as they have a great group of young horses they are ready to produce." Good morning to you, Troy. How are you?
Good, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Is this astute RSN listener on the money? Have you got some very handy two-year-olds that are about to be produced?
Is that a two-year-old turning three next week question, or a yearling turning two-year-old question?
Whichever is the best.
Yeah, whatever you've got that we can make some money on the punt, Troy, in the shortest possible time frame. I think that's probably what we're after.
Yeah, we've probably got... I reckon we've got a really good bunch of horses that are about to turn three. Some very good fillies, I think, that are amongst them, and they're a bit exciting. I've got one about to jump out right now, actually, called Clean Machine, and she's probably one of them.
Yeah.
Swatch That, you think's pretty good. I Can Too. Ranting, as far as the colt goes, I've got an unraced zoo star called Razu that we think's pretty good. The Coover, she could be quite good. And I've probably forgotten one or two in there, but yeah, we've got a really nice bunch coming through.
Wow, that sounds good. That little bit of audio, we will chop that up. We will pin it on our Twitter handle and put it out there, because you've just helped the RSN listeners out by naming about six to follow. A little bit like Johnny McArdle with his good two-year-old. The listeners love getting the insight into the ones that are just around the corner. So thank you for that, Troy. And I mentioned at the top of the show, not only are you a great horse trainer, but you're a great trainer. You must be proud of what Dennis Pagan's been able to do.
Extremely proud. That's a real feather in the cap. He's a very good listener, though, Dennis, and a very good learner, I can say. So he's done a fantastic job. He's worked very hard over the last 2 years, so he deserves everything he gets.
Hey, Troy, it's good to see Dennis's post-race interviews. They haven't changed much from his post-match footy days with the journos. Poor old Nick Ashton was working hard to get any emotion out of him there during the week. It was almost that one week at a time sort of stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, Shark, I was actually... one of the journos said to me last year, we really love doing the races, because we usually do the footy, but racing people are just so much... they give you so much more. And then Wednesday, I'm thinking, come on, mate, you're not at the bloody footy now.
Very good indeed. Well, let's hope you're going to be expansive in your post-race interview tomorrow after you get the cash with Morrissey. Now, tell me, last start, was it... Did the tactics, were they wrong going back, or what happened? What did you think of the run last start at Caulfield?
I thought they were. Actually, the stewards were very diligent afterwards, and no doubt that I did see that Twitter went into a bit of a tail spin, wondering what happened with Morrissey, but we just didn't tie Craig down with any instruction, and things just worked out that he went back and probably should have gone forward, but it is what it is.
Well, do you get redemption tomorrow?
I think so. The other thing last time was, I think that the track was worsening, whereas I think this week it will be getting better, and I think that will be the Morrissey's advantage as well.
Do you go forward this week?
I'd say that's what we'll be doing. I haven't spoken to Craig yet, but what we will do is I'll speak to Craig, and then I'll advise that what we definitely will be doing, and I'd nearly 90% say that we're going forward.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're confident about Morrissey bouncing back tomorrow. Is there anything else you like? You got one today, Rip City at Swan Hill?
He tries hard, the old bugger. He's, you know, horses that have had as many runs as him don't usually last as long as they're in the stable, but he just tries every time, and there is a race for him, and hopefully today can be the day.
All right, his 16th attempt
today. What about a Chugo on Sunday?
She just bolted in her trail. She was very impressive.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
We like that. What about a Chugo on Sunday, Troy? Holy Fox, Far Too Tempting, Licardi, Greatness Awaits, any of those?
Far Too Tempting, very promising on Too Hard filly that I think will run really well, but she's drawn terribly. Licardi should get it right. She didn't handle the synthetic first up. She's a very promising filly that I like a lot. Holly Fox was a duffer on the wet at Sandown and will bounce back nicely. And Greatness Awaits is one for the future once you get down over 2,000 metres.
Good on you, Troy. Good luck over the weekend, mate.
Thanks, Mick.
Troy Corson's there. So Morrissey's going to go forward. Who wins the first leg of the quaddy?
I think Morrissey does, now that we know it'll probably go forward. There is not a lot of speed in this race. Morrissey could almost lead if Williams wanted to. Ballet Master and Kingsbrook are the only other couple with natural gate speed that I could see pushing on. Great Duchess and Jai McNeil are going to end up in a lovely stalking position here. They're going very well, but the form so far this prep's been against the girls, up to an open handicap here and taking on the boys. So it's a different kettle of fish for Great Duchess. Morrissey was very good last time from the back of the field. The horse only has a brief turn foot, and we saw that he sort of used a fair bit of that to get into the race last time. And I heard some commentary, he was a little bit soft late, he didn't charge on through the line, but that's kind of Morrissey. If he can lob up on speed, use that acceleration to put a little margin on them early in the straight, he should be able to hold on. I think you want to be closer to the front than back in the field here.
All right. SMS asking, as the international expert, do you give Rivet Delight any hope?
Yes. It's form in Hong Kong behind Waikuku and Ruthven and those sort of horses. You know, they were Hong Kong Derby horses. So the form is strong. It's not like he's been off the scene for ages and ages. He's 12 months between runs, but that's, you know, change in jurisdictions, new stable, change things up a little bit. His jump out was really good, I thought. I think it was might have been a Casterton jump out off the top of my head, but I thought he found the line well enough. Gets back in his races usually, so that could be a negative here.
Take note two punters. Morrissey's a favourite at 380, but Coming Around, who is a short price favourite for the Mildura Cup today, will be scratched, and it's $4.80, so that market's going to change quite a lot. So the prices now will just be guides. Numbers in the first leg of the quaddy.
I'd be happy to back Morrissey at 2-1 or better. So if he's around that $3 mark, you know, happy to play there. At this point in the game, I would go Rivet Delight, Great Duchess, Morrissey, and if you wanted to go wider, Ballet Master, but I'd almost be comfortable on 1, 4, and 5.
1, 4, 5, maybe 7 in the first leg of the quaddy. The feature is the Bletchingley, and the support in the past 24 hours has all been for Viridine, a $3 favourite now. Jungle Edge at $5.50. Widgie Turf, interesting runner, first up at $6, and Great Again at $6.50. Streets of Avalon, $8.50. Interested to get the perspective and the thoughts of Paul Prushka, who will be joining us soon. But give us your thoughts and who you think will be winning the Bletchingley. Does Viridine turn the tables on a better track?
He can. It's a really genuine Group 3 race, this one. You know, most of these horses are super competitive in listed Group 3 races. It's a very even bunch. A tricky race to sort, you know, with the exception of She Shall Fly, who's a stakes winner as a young horse, but, you know, a little bit off that since these, you know, the last sort of 12 months or so. Bit of speed in the race. Jungle Edge, Sansom going forward. Great Again there as well. Will be up and trying to hold a position. I thought Streets of Avalon got a really good run in behind them. And at $8, nice each way bet. It's the only Group 1 winner in the field. Arguably the best horse in the race. He's been very competitive to Group 3 standard in races where he's often carried a little weight penalty. Yeah, I think he's right in this.
All right, so $8.50 each way, Streets of Avalon from barrier one.
Why not?
First up in the past.
Usually improves with a run or two, we know that.
Three places.
Yep.
from six starts.
He'll be around. He'll be right there and around the mark. I'm just banking on the class and looking at his record against some of these and thinking 850 is not a bad each way bet.
All right. Well, another one who's always around the mark in this grade is I Am Someone. Finished third last start behind Jungle Edge and Viridine. Trainer Paul Pushka joins us. Paul, good morning to you. And firstly, before we speak about I Am Someone, just condolences and thoughts with everyone after losing Dark Alley in a shocking track work accident yesterday.
Yeah, no, thanks for that.
I know you held that source in really high esteem. It must be very tough for everyone up there. Hopefully you can bounce back at Caulfield tomorrow. How is I Am Someone going?
Yeah, look, he's in great shape. Look forward to seeing him kick off again and hopefully a similar tempoed race, you know. I think that's the key to him. Hopefully he gets a lovely, tractable run into it, you know.
Paul, timing's everything with I Am Someone, isn't it? You don't want him flushed out too early when he can sort of be held together as long as possible. He's got that really punchy finish.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, the horse can come with, like I said before, you got to know him and there can be a different horse turn up each time and you got to ride him accordingly. So he's a tricky, ride for all jocks that have been on him. Dex seems to have him worked out and, you know, last start he was tractable enough. We probably could have given him a squeeze. You know, tomorrow we'll leave it with Dex to make that decision. But, you know, with a similar tempo, you'd feel he'd be nice and tractable and strong late.
Do you think he can beat those favourites on an improving track, a track that could be borderline good by the time the Bletchley's run?
Yeah, for sure. He's I don't think he handled it all that well last start, got his feet late. Just a nice horse with the sting out of the ground.
All right, so final word. We should have a little something on him?
Yeah, for sure. He's honest, and that's that grade, isn't it? The sprint races, it's what goes right. Everything goes right, you're right, isn't it? If something goes wrong, you get spat out pretty quick.
Anything else we should be backing over the weekend?
Well, I've only got today. Excuses. He's a raw type horse still, but there's a bit of ability there, and I don't think he'd be far away from winning a race, you know?
Good luck, Paul. Hopefully, after what's occurred the last 24 hours, you deserve a change of luck. So best of luck for the weekend.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Paul Pushka, that's just shocking news when that came through yesterday. He's one of the most promising young stays coming through the ranks.
I was talking to his owner, Dark Alley's owner, John Fattini, yesterday, and there's a gentleman who just takes so much time with his horses. He just wants to race good stayers, and he will wait and wait and wait and wait. And it was only about a month ago he was saying, oh, you know, rising five-year-old, this is the time. I think we'll see the best of this horse now. In the next 12 months, he's pretty good. And then for that to happen, it's gutting, isn't it? When you can hear, he's still flat, isn't he, Paul?
Oh, I think
and
he's
as you would be, because he would probably know. He would know, and John would know what the potential that horse had. From those sort of looking in, you have a certain assessment of them, but you can tell in his voice they lost something pretty handy there.
Wow, gee. It's the fine line in racing, isn't it? You've got them one day and they go on the next sometimes. Who wins the Bletchley, Sharky?
I'm going with Streets of Avalon.
All right.
Just as a value 50. Selection.
And the quaddy numbers?
Quaddy numbers. We're putting a few in here. 1, 2, 4... And I'll put 5 in. Great again. Lindsay Smith,
Edge,
Michael Rodd.
Streets of Avalon, 4 Viridine, and Great Again. All right, let's pick up the pace in race number 7, which is the Bobus Gold Stayers. Good to see this Bobus meeting here as well. Muhammad Ace has been well thought of here. Didn't have much luck last start. You can jump straight in. WT's getting in tight now. $2.90. Muhammad Ace is at $3.80. Sasco, the next best.
I was hoping Nick Ryan might send Muhammad Ace to this race. If you go back two runs to Flemington and the 2,500-metre race, Mohamedeus carried 62 kegs and was trying his backside off, but he was just anchored by weight there, then went back in trip, 2,000 metres, a nice bridging run into this. Again, carried weight, was wide throughout, kept coming, kept trying. Had a couple of hurdle trials since to sharpen the horse up. I was keen, really keen, and then I saw bar plates front first time, and I'm not a big fan of bar plates on horses, but this race has a significant tail to it. I've still got Mohamedeus on top. I'm sticking with him here. I just think he's ready to win a race like that.
He loves Caulfield.
He does. He certainly does. I think it's a relatively thin quaddy leg too.
I was disappointed with that last start. Back out to the distance.
The tempo probably wasn't there for him last week behind Credence. It was a slow run race. Those in the first sort of six were strongly advantaged in that race. He just didn't get a chance to get out and get going. And he's probably a little bit close to the speed before that. He's going to be back in the field with 60 kilos. We don't know how he's going to go beyond. Well, he's run to 2,200 metres and run well in the past. He's on ratings, he's up there. He's one of the best horses in the race with Mohamedeus, but he's got to prove himself at this trip.
All right, quaddy numbers?
1, 2, 3, 5.
1, 2, 3, and 5. So double UT, Mohamedeus, 3, Sasco, and 5, Patch Adams.
Patch is the blowout. He is the blowout in this race. Heavy tracks, last two haven't been to his liking. Before that, he won well at Casterton, absolutely flew late at Casterton, and he did the same prior to that at Casterton in the Casterton Cup. So I think the horse is going well this time around.
All right, that is the numbers 1, 2, 3, 5 in the Vobis Gold Stays, race number 8. That brings us to the last of the day. And for many punters, this will be their best of the day. Mystery shot, even money, after the tab opened up, I think it was around $3.20. Splendor in the Grass.
Did they?
Yep. Splendor in the Grass is going really well.
That's lunacy.
Has drawn a little wide again. The barrier, the price is at $7. Wicklow Town's been so consistent, is well in the market. Might struggle to turn the tables. It's at $7 and Lakes Folly at $7. Now, connections of all the opposition would have had a little bit of a disappointed look on their face if they heard Lindsay Smith this morning say, I think he's improved and gone to another level. Yeah. Mystery shot.
Just throwing up a little bit in their mouths, weren't they?
On an improving track, which was the query last start.
Yeah.
The weight was no issue last start. Drops down to 58.5. Is there any, you were against him last start. Is there any?
I wasn't against
chance
him. I said we were unsure on the ground.
He gets beaten tomorrow.
Well, there's every chance. I don't think he's not unbeatable. He's
really?
Not black, he's not black caviar.
I was hoping you to say that this was a chips in, a back the track.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll win. I think the only danger is Zero Doubt, who's the fresh horse on the scene. He's had a couple of jump outs to get fit enough to be doing something first up, but with residual fitness on his side and given the handicap. How this horse is 2.5 kilos above the handicap? Well, he carried 61.5 last time and beat most of these comfortably. He's dropping in weight here, meets some of these better at the weights. How are they beating him? I think he's the likely winner. You could go one out in the quaddy. I'll throw in Zero Doubt in because it's a Friday and, you know, I just like to play like that sometimes.
Yeah, you're an insurance man. You're an each way man. You don't live dangerously.
I used to live very dangerously, but, you know, it's sort of...
The older you get, the more timid you get?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. You got to pull your head in at some point, don't you?
Mystery shot, even money. I think punters around Australia will
have... He should be winning.
...him anchored in quaddies, big sixes and multis. $2, but you're not going one out. All right. 1 and 7 in the last leg of the quaddy. Is he your best of the day?
I think so. Yeah, he's the best of the day. The other one that I'm looking forward to having something on would probably be Morrissey. I think he gets a really, really good run.
And the news, if you just joined us, is that they will be going forward, and Troy will make that very, very public tomorrow before the race.
Tavi Dance, Morrissey, Mystery Shots, not a bad little three-legged multi.
Dino's formula, two and three. Our companion, you could throw in there as well.
You could.
Dino's keen on that.
Could be a good day for a Yankee tomorrow.
I'm confident.
Tomorrow.
I think tomorrow is a day for the punters, which is good. Now, but
are you going to open the shoulders?
What we do need...
Is Jackie going to let you off the leash? You know, a crack? She can't hear us. She's homeschooling.
No, she's not. She's gone.
She's gone?
Yeah. Daughters are homeschooling themselves, which is how it will continue today. Give me the Friday fill-up for Racing Pulse.
I think
and
cat's...
remember, you're going head-to-head with Dino in the Friday fill-up.
I know. I think the cat's
Ocean
out of the
Central.
Bag. I think the cat's out of the bag in the Mildura Cup. I think coming around will be winning the Mildura Cup today. But...
That's a lot of... Brent Stanley... Just yesterday gave it a big push. Dino has declared it. Glenn Ingram has declared it as well.
Outs.
So everyone from RSN is on today. Now, for the punters out there, I'll just double-check what price it currently is. Swan Hill Mildura Cup Race 8. It's at $2.40. It was $4 yesterday.
It's short enough. Let's
throw that into the two-day multi as well. Anything else?
Well, why not? Let's just buckle up on this ridiculous multi. Can we throw footy bets in there as well? Let's get completely wild. I think the horse Paul Pruska mentioned in race one, excuses. I think he can win the first.
All right. And that is at $4.80. All right, punters, today begins the weekend punting marathon. We need something to look forward to. Keep your masks on and also try and survive homeschooling lockdown. Be safe. Back plenty of winners. Sharky, we will see you on Monday for the verdict.
Oh, the mask will be on around Matt Stewart, that's for sure.
Well, he's one person that... Look, it's not a bad result, really.
Well, yeah, he does have lovely eyes.
People have been asking him to put a mask on for years. That's it for us. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere, though, because we will be previewing the huge Mildura Cup meeting up next.